Scripture reading, I'll be reading Exodus 3, 4 through 5. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground."
It is so good to see you. It's so good to be a part of this church. It's good to be a part of this worship. Worship is an interesting thing. Right now in Antigua, some of our brothers and sisters are worshiping together. Right now in Mexico, some of the members of this congregation are worshiping. And here we are. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that when we come together to worship, that God is here. It's amazing. It's so amazing, sometimes we shy back from it. When Moses was at the burning bush, after God identified himself, the Bible says that Moses couldn't look. He hid his face because being too close to God is sometimes upsetting to us and frightening to us. It's good that we're here. I know that many of our members are gone other places serving. This summer is so filled with so much activity, but it's good that we're here. What we're here for is not only an important thing, but a holy thing. Tomorrow we'll be meeting again, some of us, as we come into the presence of the body of our dear sister. And then Tuesday, we'll be back in here. And we have come together not only to praise God, but to remember Sue and to remember what she did for us. There's going to be work that needs to be done with that. There's still some need for some people to help with the meal. If you want to help with that or in any other way, if you would go to room 205 after our service, okay? God calls out to Moses, and he said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not come near, but put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Holy ground. This last week, Patsy and I were at Red River. There were 1,800 people under that tent Sunday morning. The singing was spectacular. They had the best preachers that we have in the brotherhood gathered together there to share the word with us. There was friends from all over that came together, and we enjoyed one another's company. But at one of those services, we sang this song that we just sang. And I got real excited thinking about it. And I thought, what makes that place feel so holy? I mean, Red River, New Mexico wasn't built to worship God. It was built to provide housing for the people who wanted to go up on the mountain and ski. It has more bars in it than it does churches. And many of the people seem to be a little rowdy that come around there. I think the group that was coming after we were through was all going to arrive on motorcycles with various and sundry other kinds of activities planned. And yet it felt like the song was right. We were on holy ground. What is it about that? What made that place so special to so many people? Why is it that people keep coming back there and spending all that money? Why would you spend $50,000 to put a tent up big enough for all those people and do it year after year? The song moved me, like it did today, because this place is just like that. This place it used to be a wheat field, and there was a horse racing track across the street and a, a country club back behind us. It's sitting on a highway where most people aren't thinking about holy things when they come by. So what makes it a holy place? This whole city, this place, that tent. We were in a tent on a parking lot by a motel, and yet it felt like it was holy ground. What is it about it? What makes something or somebody or some group of somebodies holy? Holy means different. I used to think it meant good. Since God is holy and he's really good, then I thought that. And when somebody talked about me being holy, I thought, no, not me. I'm not that good. When we think about God, we think good, and so we think holy means that. But that's not what the word really means. Holy means different, completely different, set apart, unique. Now, we have some good moments, and that's why we don't feel like we're holy. God's good all the time, so I guess you could use that word as describing the holy God. God is also eternal, always. God also has all power, and he knows everything, and he's everywhere. These are characteristics of him. They're identifiers so that we know who this different one that's different from us, how we would know him if he came around. He told Moses that at the bush when he told him that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's been years and years and years and hundreds of years since those men were alive. And so God is saying, I'm eternal. I am. He was also telling him that by the miracle of the bush that was burning, that wasn't being consumed, that he had all power. He could do anything he wanted to do. And he reminded him that you're in a position, you're in a place that is unique to every other place in the world this day because I'm here. What made that spot holy is that God was there. And Moses had been invited to meet with him. It was an appointment that he had with him. What made that song that we sang true is that when we come together as a church, we come for an appointment with God. This place that was not holy becomes holy. This is a pretty building, but that's not what makes it holy. We're the body of Christ, but it doesn't make us holy to be church people. There's something else that sets this apart. No, holy God has made some promises to us, and he has promised us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there. A promise. We're not just together. Next Wednesday night, we'll be together. We'll be the same people, but after we've met with God, we're going to meet with ice cream. It's a different reason for the meeting. And we still belong to God. We still have some fellowship with him, but the appointment that we've come together to meet with him will be past, and we'll be in another, at least mental, place. Jesus made us a promise. Moses was invited to come face to face with God, to come to a bush that was burning, and to hear the word of God. David tells us in Psalms 107, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And then he said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from their trouble and gathered them from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." That's another identifier with this appointment we have. The word that we translate church is called the assembly in the Bible, the ecclesia. And if you could have been up in the air watching what was happening here before we assembled to be in the presence of God, you would have seen cars coming from one direction or another. You would have seen them coming from out of town and coming in. You would have seen them all coming and heading to one place. because that's where the appointment would be when we come together to worship. Worship's not just singing songs and reading scripture. It's an answer to a promise, an invitation that God has given to come together in His name. And so today, all over the world, beginning when the first part of the day became day, and somewhere far to the east of us, Christians started coming together. And they came together in different kinds of places. And some of them were in rented halls, and some of them were in buildings that they had built for that purpose. And some were in the living room of a house, and some were under a tree, and some were in a hut someplace. There are Christians that have will come together in jails and in prisons. There are Christians that will be together in hospitals. And they all come together from the east and the west and the north and the south. And they come together because He's promised us. When we come together in His name, He's there. And it makes the spot so special. You could go, if we could find it, to that mountain where Moses saw that bush. And no matter how hard we looked, we wouldn't see that much different about it. He doesn't leave an autograph where He's been. You could go to those cities where Jesus walked and maybe go to some of the places we know this is the very place, but if you didn't know it, it wouldn't look that much different. The well that Jacob dug, other people go there and they don't think about Jesus talking to that Samaritan woman at it. That Sea of Galilee has had other names. And the spot, although it's holy to us in memory, it doesn't look that much different than other places. But there's something else. We have this invitation. We've been called to fellowship with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, I will live among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we not only have this invitation, but we have this promise that when we come and meet with God, something happens to us. He invites us, and He also gives us a promise that we will be received. He actually likes our company, and He actually receives our praise. And He actually said one time He was not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham. And He calls us out and wants us to come out, insists that we come out, and He'll be our Father. When the prodigal got home, he got more than a bunk and a meal. When he got home, he got his father back, and he was received because of the invitation of when he was in his father's presence. He is now his father's son. There are some people that when they come together, they come with great anticipation, like the Jews of old when they would go up to the temple and they would sing those wonderful psalms as they got closer and closer and get more and more excited, kind of like you do when someone that you love is coming home, or when you're going to some place where that you are eager to be. Some people come into the presence of God like that, full of energy and excitement and happiness. And the closer you get, the more excited you are. We started for home Thursday, and we planned on stopping halfway. But when you're going home, you can't stop, can you? When you're going home, this you think, in six more hours, I could be at home. I could be where I belong. I could be in my bed. I could eat from my plate. I could sit in my chair. I can be with the people that I love. Some people come into the worship like that. Some are excited. Some people are surprised when they get into the presence of God, like Moses was. That wasn't what he expected to happen that day. And some come reluctantly because they know repentance is needed, like those people that John preached to when he told them, you're not ready for the appointment with God. He's coming among us. You need to repent. This holy appointment that we have when we come together to worship. It's a reminder because it illustrates to us what was. Since God is eternal, when we come together to worship, we understand at creation, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit brought structure out of the void. They brought light out of darkness and order out of chaos. And God declared all of that good. And when we come into His presence, we're reminded those very things happen to us. Out of the void and the emptiness of our life, we find structure. We find light in the darkness where we live. And we find order coming out of chaos because we are in the presence of God. This appointment also illustrates the grace of God, the saving grace. And when we come together, we might think about those other times, like at the Passover, when God exercised His grace not only to the Israel as He passed over and when He saw the blood, this saving grace that made them a nation and made them a people and reminded the world of who they were. They were God's people. But it is also an illustration to us. It reminds us of the appointment when they met with God at Sinai and they sinned grievously in the very presence of God, just like we do. We act like God doesn't know what we're doing and we act in ways that are not the way His children should act. And when Moses comes back down from the mountain, he tells them that they've sinned grievously. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 33 that the people stripped themselves of their ornaments, those things that they got in Egypt, those things that had the images of idols on them, those things that showed the wealth and prestige that they had, those things that reminded them of the people of Egypt. And they were wearing them. They were dressing like pagans, and they looked like pagans. And well, they were pagans. They were worshiping a golden calf there. And these things, they voluntarily, because the appointment with God was too sacred and too wonderful, and it was so necessary that they stripped themselves of those things, and many of those very ornaments were melted down and made into the vessels of the temple. But he said they stripped themselves of those ornaments at Horeb onward. They became different people because of this appointment that they had with God. This appointment illustrates the cross, the greatest image of the saving grace of God. It reminds us of the tomb. It reminds us of the resurrection. It reminds and illustrates to us the being separated from God that sin does this to us, and being separated from sin and united to God. We trade one kind of separation for another. We're no longer attached to sin, but now we're attached to God. Before, we were separated from God and aliens from the promises and without hope in the world. But now, because of what happened at the cross, and we remember that and we're reminded of that when we come together to worship Him, we're reminded of what has been and what God has done. But this appointment with God also illustrates what will be. In the book of Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, beginning with verse 13, if you have your Bibles, open them up, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry and with a command of the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God." Now listen. "And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Where do we hear these words? Where do these words, what do they illustrate to us? When we come together in this appointment with God, in this holy place, not holy because it cost a lot, not holy because we're so good, but holy because this is the place that we have decided that we're going to meet with God, and He promised He would be here. When we come together, we not only know what has been, what God has done in the past, but we know and what God has done with us now, but we know what will be. And we're able to be close to a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're able to be close to a God who never sins, and He allows us the grace of being sanctified, the grace of being accounted sinless, the grace of being forgiven. And when we're with a God who has the power, He's already in the future, we're able to see into the future from His words. And so it illustrates what will be. This appointment is an illustration to us of the promises of eternity. Now, when we read the book of Revelation and we see, you know, it's hard to know whether He's talking about the church now or fellowship with Him forever, because He's the same all the time. And when we see Him, when we come into the appointment with Him, we see the promises that He makes. And in chapter 21, He says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. And then I saw a holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself will be with them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be any mourning or crying, nor any more, for the former things have passed away.' And He said, as He sat upon the throne, said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" What is He talking about here? He's talking about what happens when we're close to God. He's talking about, whether you think about it as far as heaven forever, where we'll always be with the Lord, or whether you're thinking about right now, what is He telling us? He's telling us that all things can be new now. He's telling us that we can have fellowship with God now. He's telling us that He receives us into this fellowship and is He becomes our God and we become His people. He's talking about what we run out of words to talk about. But he's talking about the church. He's talking about the fellowship. He's talking about this amazing appointment that we have, where we can come into the presence of God, and we don't have words to talk about it. We just run out of any kind of illustrations that we can come up with. We know it's glorious. We want to hide our face. It's so amazing. We want to tremble when we're in our presence. We think about the past. We think about the future. We think about now. I think about that boy on the road and his father wiping away the tears from his eyes, his tears and the boy's tears. I'm thinking about that father kissing that dirty face and kissing away those tears. I'm thinking about him receiving his boy back. The boy gets is more than he could ever imagine. Ever. Not a bunk in the barn. But my son who was dead is now alive again. Now, what he's telling us is that this glorious thing, it begins now, and it never ends if we make this appointment, this fellowship, this holy thing. What makes this holy ground? Well, it's pretty, but that's not it. It's not the location. It's a good location, but that's not it. It's what we remember when we come into His presence. It's what has happened, and will happen, and is happening. It's who is here. It's what He does. It's what He's done. and what he will do. And so we get excited. We get excited. We have to get ready. We're eager for this appointment. Jesus said that we must get ready. Jesus even said that the one thing that'll ruin worship, that you can't even make a gift to God if we have something wrong with us, with each other. He said, leave your gift and go make it right with your brother, then come back, because this appointment is too important. Because he also calls you holy and me holy. And he calls us as a group holy. And he tells us there's preparation that has to be made. You know what he's saying. You know what he's saying. We lay aside every sin, the book of Hebrews tells us, because we've got a race to run and a destination to get to. And he calls us into this holy fellowship because these sins will mess us up and will stop our journey. And we're excited because God's here and he loves us. Did you hear me? All you little kids that are in grade school, all the little grade school kids, listen to me. God loves you. You teenagers that think you haven't got a friend in the world, well, you've got a friend in Jesus, and God loves you. You children that had, you people that have little kids and you can't make ends meet and you think that I'm never going to get out of this hole that I'm in, you need to know something. This appointment should let us know God loves you. Are you listening to me, church? He loves you. If you're retired, and he loves you. If you're over the hill, he loves you. If you're old and feeble, he loves you. God loves you, and he's eager for us to come to this fellowship. He's eager for us to make this appointment. We're happy to be here because this is the place where Jesus is. He promised us he would be here. We're happy to be here because this is where love is. We're happy to be here because this is where help is. It's possible for us to come into this assembly a sinner and leave a saved person. This is where we remember the death of Jesus. This is where we sing praises to him and he listens to us. This is where he accepts us as we come into his presence. We're happy to be here. Because this is where we find forgiveness, is in Christ. We're here because we belong here. We know who we are. We're God's people. Wayne and Jennifer and the kids, they float down rivers in kayaks. One time Ben was telling me all about kayaking. He was a little bitty fella then. And he was telling me about how much he enjoyed it and everything. And I said, I saw in the Thrifty Nickel a canoe that was for sale. Y'all might want to get that. And he looked at me and he says, my daddy says, we are not canoe people. We are kayak people. Now, why would he say that? Because he knew who he was. He knew where he belonged. I don't even know if he knew what a canoe was, but he knew what a kayak was because that's who he was. We are happy to be here because this is where we belong. This is our place in the presence of God, and we're happy when we do it. There's joy when we get close to him because we belong in his place. We're here because we are God's people, the redeemed, the holy people set apart. That mean we're better than other people? No. But we are forgiven. We're not more spiritual than other people. We should be. We're not the best people in town or the smartest people in town. Look around. We're certainly not the best looking people in town. But we are God's people. And we're where we're supposed to be. And we know that we're home. You know, there's some things that we just can't fathom. We can't figure out. We can't understand. And when I can't comprehend his plan, I can cling to his presence. And that's why we're here, in the presence of God. Now, if you're uncomfortable in the presence of God, this is the time and the place to make that right. Once you come home, he's eager to see you. Won't you come right now while we stand and sing?